If at first you don't repeal health care, try again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Last night, the U.S. House, led by Republicans, voted to undo health care reform. But the repeal effort ends there, with little or no chance of passing the Senate. Next comes death by a thousand cuts. Opponents are going to try to knock off individual provisions they don't like. First up, a tax reporting requirement for businesses designed to pay for the reform. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
This is the kind of regulation businesses love to hate. Starting next year, they'll have to file a tax form for every supplier they spend at least $600 with, on everything from computers to carpet cleaning.
Last year, we filed only 7 1099 forms. If the law were in effect, we'd file 200.
Tim Reynolds runs a software firm in Cleveland, and he's got 35 employees, one of whom does nothing but federal form filing.
Think of it this way. It's a 2,700% increase.
All those extra 1099s are supposed to help the IRS catch tax cheats and raise $17 billion. Reynolds, who's on the board of the National Small Business Association, doesn't think so.
Spread that across the millions of small businesses. That's a heck of a paper flow that the IRS is going to have to handle, and their costs are going to go up.
In keeping with his push to reduce business paperwork, President Obama now supports 1099 repeal. So do some Democrats, though they don't want to cut health care to pay for it. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are lower right now across the board. The S&P down about 0.2%. The NASDAQ off now nearly 1.25%. And the Dow lower by 55 points at 11,769. More people bought pre-owned homes in December than analysts had expected. That's despite bad weather. Homebuyers were taking advantage of good housing deals. The number of people filing for first-time jobless benefits fell by 37,000 last week. If you're stuck in traffic right now, you can thank the economic recovery just a little bit. Researchers at Texas A&M University found at the depths of the Great Recession, the number of hours wasted in traffic plummeted. But as the economy improves, yep, more people are taking to the roads. David Schrank is with the Texas Transportation Institute, and he's with us from College Station. Good morning.
Good morning.
So traffic is an economic indicator? Wow.
Well, what we're seeing is that traffic congestion is very much tied to what with the economy. And as the economy slowed down here in the U.S., traffic congestion decreased drastically. And we're starting to see signs that it is picking up, which probably ties to the fact that the economy is starting to slowly recover.
How much money, David, do we lose when we're stuck in traffic jams?
Our national estimate for wasted money is about $115 billion, and that's just based on time and fuel. So if you factor in other things, insurance or other driving costs, then that could go up as well.
If all of this, if traffic is used as an economic indicator, who's climbing out of the recession and, dare I say, into the slower lane?
Well, really, there's no city per se that is rebounding rapidly, but Chicago's probably one that would point to for a little bit larger of an increase than most, maybe Miami and even the Los Angeles area.
David Schrank with the Texas Transportation Institute at Texas A&M. David, thank you.
Sure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. By Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. And by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
Street revolts in Tunisia over high food prices brought down the government there. But how did the message spread so fast? Like other protests, through social networks. Yet that technology sword can cut both ways. Yevgeny Morozov wrote the book The Net Delusion, The Dark Side of Internet Freedom, and he's with us now. Good morning.
Glad to be here.
If people use websites such as Twitter and Facebook and Flickr to express themselves, well, those are channels for free speech, right? So how can people be held back if they have access to all this free speech?
Well, the governments also have access to many of the same channels. And what we see happen in places like China or Iran or Russia is that governments are beginning to watch those spaces very closely. There is definitely an element of activists becoming much more effective in planning their campaigns online. But also there is a much more darker element of forces they oppose using the same very platforms to crack down on this activists and dissidents.
I want to talk about Iran. Because after the election there were thousands of tweets coming in of where these protests were supposedly taking place. Give us an example of what was happening in Iran.
The Iranian government began collecting and analyzing all of the Twitter messages, Facebook messages, Flickr photos, and actually began asking public to identify anyone who they could recognize in the photos. I think as many as 40 people were actually identified on those photos, and some of them were arrested, some of them were interrogated.
I want to talk about the responsibility as well of these sites, Twitter and Flickr, Facebook. How much responsibility do they have? Can they do anything about this?
They definitely can. I mean, it's a tension between how much money they would be able to make from the data and information that they accumulate and how much social responsibilities they would like to carry. There are definitely efforts that, and industry efforts that these companies can join. It's just that some of them do not yet recognize that they have the social responsibility.
Yevgeny Morozov, author of The Net Delusion, The Dark Side of Internet Freedom. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And finally, from the Marketplace Creepy Crawly Desk, Sven Koppler of Germany admitted to sending through the mail hundreds of rare tarantulas, including ones protected under international treaty. Koppler was arrested and pleaded guilty to federal smuggling charges. He was paid $300,000 for the arachnids by U.S. federal agents posing as buyers in a sweep called, wait for it, Operation Spider-Man. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, tweeting at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
If I told you that the more people play games online with friends, the closer we get to fixing the global economy, would you believe me?
That ability to organize large groups of people where everybody gets to contribute their skill, their strength, is really important as we start to tackle planetary scale problems.
I'm a trustworthy guy, I promise. I'm Kai Rizdahl, playing games, solving problems, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.